Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast, and it's two witnesses today because I've got my daughter, Shelly.
Hey, Mom. It's good to be with you today.
And Shelly, I'm just thinking we're going to be talking about this week what's happening over in the Middle East. Going to talk about all the things that are happening all around Israel, because Israel is rather like a tiny island in the midst of a vast sea of enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start at the northern border. So tell the people what we do at the northern border when we go to Israel. Every year we've done it 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look on your map and see the shape of Israel, the northern border looks like your index finger if you were to point it straight up. So by going to Mitzkavam, which is a kibbutz right there at the fingertip of Israel, you can see straight down into Lebanon, and you can see in a distance Syria. And if a picture says 1,000 words, we take our people, whom our tour people, and we say, take this picture back home with you. This is a little country of Israel, and right here, within a stone's cast, is Lebanon.
Yes, we look right over that fence into Lebanon, and in the many years we've been going, there were these little villages,
mm-hmm.
and there were little Arab villages, and then there was the little Christian village mm-hmm. where Gabriella comes from, and where the Bayous from Collinsville came from.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of that city?
Well, I was just trying to think of
it. Oh, well, we'll think of it later. But it used to be a Christian village. It's not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of these villages have now been taken over by the Hamas. And so we're going to come back to that northern border in a minute. But right now, on the northern border of Israel is Lebanon. Then just a little bit. Now I want to move to the eastern border. On the eastern border is
Jordan.
And tell about seeing over into Jordan.
Well, one of my own interesting little things about Jordan was you and I had gone to the Salt Sea, the Dead mm-hmm. Sea, Yom HaMelech, and where my biggest executive decision that day was which palm tree I was going to choose to study the Word of God. And it happened to be near a swimming pool that was part of this resort. And they were playing Israeli songs, you know, here, softly in the background. And toward the end of the day, the setting of the sun, and in the distance from my palm tree, you could see the Moabite mountains.
The mountains of Moab, sure.
Where Ruth would have come from.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was surreal. I mean, I'm sitting there under this tree with my Bible, watching Israeli families having lots of fun, and they're singing this one particular song in English. And it was, swing low, sweet chariot.
The Israelis were singing.
Yes. Coming for to carry me home. And then as you go on in the song, well, I looked over Jordan. And what did I see?
The Jordan River.
And I could look from my palm tree there at the Dead mm-hmm. Sea and see the Moabite Mountains.
Yeah.
I looked over Jordan. What did I see? But here's a chorus of about, oh, I don't know, about 75 Israelis singing, well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see?
Sure.
So it's very close.
Very, very close. And then to the south, what's down that way?
Egypt.
Egypt. And so we've been to that very border, down
oh, yeah.
to the border of Egypt. Mm. Now, as you're coming up the coast, you go down, and we're going to be talking about Egypt and what's going on there. That's south. And then it has a border with Israel. And on Israel's just about 25 miles long, about 4 or 5 miles wide, there's this area called Gaza. And, of course, we've been to Gaza many times
mm-hmm.
when it belonged to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And we visited the people there that have been pushed out. But all these things are close together. Now, I said, Shelly, we've just come back, you and I, from San Antonio in a Christians United for Israel meeting. And we were with Brother John Hagee. Right when all these things are going on in Egypt, we're with Brother John Hagee, Gary Bauer, who had run for president and was in the Reagan administration, Michael Little, who's the president of a CBN, Christian Broadcasters. So all these people with their news agencies and their outreaches, they're hearing the things and telling us what we're seeing on television. But plus that, they've got some other info lines. And so it was very surreal being there with them when everything's going on in Egypt and hearing what's happening.
It was.
But what I wanted to say was, I told someone down there, it is just as if someone pushed a button about the middle of January, mm-hmm. and everything to the north, to the east, mm-hmm. and to the south of this
Israel.
Little nation Israel that's mm-hmm. only the size of New Jersey, everything got stirred. Stirred up. And to the north, of course, it had happened in North Africa before, Tunisia. The state of Tunisia in North Africa had had an uprising against their incumbent government. Then on the 22nd of January, Iran, which is a totally Islamic Sharia law state, they sent their, I think it was their foreign minister or minister of defense, I'm not sure, into Syria. And there he talked to Assad, and they agreed on a plan to take over Lebanon. And they took it over on January 23rd by putting in a leader of the parliament, the prime minister, Hamas. So Hamas, Lebanon's fallen. It's right. gone.
And it used to be the Paris of the Middle East.
That's what they called it.
So beautiful and so...
Beirut. Yes.
And so civilized. But now it's just a terrorist...
Yeah, it's just a terrorist enclave. And Hezbollah is the terrorist group that is funded by Iran. So Hezbollah, I said Hamas, I think, but it is Hezbollah.
It's Hezbollah.
It's right. Hezbollah, the party of God, Allah, the party mm-hmm. of Allah. Hezbollah, funded by Iran, has been placed as prime minister of Lebanon. Now we're going to go on east, just east of Israel. And there, as you said, are the mountains of Moab, mm-hmm. Moab and Ammon in the Bible. And there, every Friday, that's the day that they have the Muslim prayers, every Friday after their prayers, their day of the week that they worship, they've been marching in the streets to overthrow their head, which is Abdullah, the son of Hussein, mm-hmm. Who died. And King Hussein, who died. And so they've been in the streets marching. Now then, everyone knows, I think you'd have to be on a desert island somewhere if you didn't know what's been going on in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
In Egypt, they've been in the streets. They've been screaming to overthrow Mubarak, an evil dictator, all right, a very evil dictator. But at the least, he kept down this group called the Muslim Brotherhood. And behind everything and in everything, we see the hand of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood, you can just, I just got what I've got today to tell you. I just got it from Wikipedia. The Muslim Brotherhood. The Society of the Muslim Brotherhood is an Islamist transnational movement. That means it goes across lines, nations, and the largest political opposition organization in many Arab states. The group is the world's oldest and largest Islamic political group and the world's most influential Islamist movement. The Brotherhood has as its slogan, Islam is the solution. It was founded in 1928 in Egypt by the Islamic scholar and schoolteacher Hassan al-Banna. The Brotherhood's stated goal is to instill the Quran and Sunnah, Sunni. There are the Sunnis and there are the Shias in Islam, and Sunnah as the, quote, sole reference point for ordering the life of the Muslim family and individual community and states. 1928, founded in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood is well organized, and it has as its goal to establish Islam as a solution in the whole world. So, of course...
With Sharia law.
And they believe that they can come into this... They're patient. Mm-hmm. Now, Osama bin Laden came under their tutelage, and that's where he began to proclaim jihad now. But he got upset with them because they're so slow. And he wanted to move fast. So he did the Twin Towers and he did the 9/11 business. But the Muslim Brotherhood, they have a plan, very active plan. They have goals. They have strategic plans. Maybe you can read read here, Shelley. I'm reading. They have a 5-year action plan recently stated. And the following goals are from a speech made in the 1980s by Zaid al-Norman, an American-based supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood. And here are their goals. Just read some of their goals here, Shelley. Primary goals there.
Okay.
The primary ones.
A reinstatement of the caliphate.
The caliphate, yeah. The caliphs to rule everything all over the Islamic world.
And reunite the countries where Muslims are free to practice their religion.
Okay, unite all the Islamic states.
Now, the next primary goal is strengthen the internal structure. The next bullet point is administrative discipline. Next is recruitment and settlement of the dawahs, that is, lectures and speeches about Islam. The next goal is energizing the organization's work.
They're very, very organized. That's the point I wanted to make. That'll be enough. Very, very organized to take over the world and make it an Islamic world. They've been content to just move and grow, and they're against, for instance, they're outlawed in Egypt. Mubarak outlawed them. They operate anyway.
Right.
And, of course, they're scared of them. They're frightened. The royal family of the Saudis are frightened of them. They're very powerful. And if they move into Egypt, even if it looks like they don't have a controlling hand, even if they get 2 or 3 seats or so in the parliament, they've made their move.
Mm-hmm.
And
they've
started. They've made inroads. And they've started, and probably a puppet that they would put in if they overthrow Mubarak. And, of course, by this time, you're going to be seeing this. You're going to be listening to this. We're making it on Tuesday, and you will not be hearing it until the following Monday, so we don't know what's going to happen. But watch for the movement of the Islamic Brotherhood. Now, we're going to start, and we're going to talk this week, Shelley, all this week, about what the Bible says about Egypt, what the Bible says about that part of the world.
Because wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of our times. And
what is that scripture? Isaiah 33, like 6 or so. We'll tell tomorrow.
Right.
Wisdom and knowledge is the stability of your times. And so we're going to invite you to, we will be archiving these. And so you can, if you can keep up, you can tell your friends to keep up. It will be our radio program talking about the things that are happening right now. And we're going to look particularly at the Bible. This is Billy Brim and Shelley, and we're at 1-800-972-3447 or billybrim.org to go on, listen to the archives. Join us for prayer. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.